I think some people are looking for a way to explain what they're feeling right now. When the world has convinced them that your skin color is not only your race, but is also your religion, your culture, and they look at TV and film and they see characters who were once one skin color now being replaced by characters of a different skin color, or what they see is the white race being replaced by black and brown races. Or when they look at the television and they see fewer and fewer people who look like them on that shallow level of skin color, and they feel that it is an attack on their race, their culture, their religion. I only know how that feels from the opposite sense of being told as a kid that my race is black. And growing up during a time when there was not a lot of black people on TV or film or in commercials, to now living in a society where there are many blacks in TV and film, but while they might have my skin tone, they are nothing like me morally. The black characters today are typically gay or sin-friendly. So I went from not having anyone to identify with to not having anyone to identify with on television. But in another sense, I want to comment on some remarks from Matt Walsh, which I think are well-meaning on his part, but misrepresent what is actually going on and may be harmful in some ways. Now, before you hop down into the comment box and start saying,
"Oh, David, you shouldn't talk about Matt Walsh. He's a good Catholic."
Shut up. Listen to the show first. Comment later. And I tend to like most of what Matt says. The person who I don't like is Mark Dice. I think he's an idiot. This is David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
If you want to believe science and divine revelation at the same time, here is where they meet in saying that there is only one human race, or you can call it a species, but there's just one. Science agrees that those things that we call race, such as black race or white race or Indian race, are mere social constructs. Or some would call them political or historical constructs, neither of which are based in science, all of which are not immutable. They change, they can flip. They're relatively new. According to some sources, the term white race or white people entered the major European lexicons or languages in the late 17th century and originated from the racialization of slavery at the time. That is, some Europeans felt the need to distinguish a superior white race from a race that is being enslaved. So the term white race is rooted in racism. The term black race or black people was used by Europeans in the 1500s to refer to people of African descent, but it did not have the same meaning and implications as it does today. The modern term, the modern day use of the term black race, identifying groups of by people or particular traits or appearances, characteristics, is a human invention that evolved alongside the formation of the United States and its economic system of capitalism, which depended upon the institution of forced labor, slavery, especially the enslavement of African peoples. Again, in both cases, white race and black race were referring to mere social constructs that are rooted in racism, not anything scientific, and are not even helpful when studying genetics, which appears to be more related to geography than anything else. So if you are a person who believes in science and or divine revelation, There's only one human race or human species like us. If you're that person, then you're not the type of person who cares what skin color of a fictional character like the Little Mermaid is being portrayed by, or whether a real historical figures such as Cleopatra is being played by a dark brown skinned woman. Those things would not matter to you because you believe we're all just human. Who cares what human plays what role? But many people have not reached that level of maturity. Many people have been conditioned by media and government to profit off of a division, to believe that the race social construct is real. So when one or two brown-skinned elves appeared in The Lord of the Rings, they were aghast.
Oh no, not the elves. The elves are Negroes too? How could that be? Can we put the black elves into slavery in Middle Earth? J.R.R. Tolkien must be turning over his grave.
So one common response to this was the treat others like you want to be treated argument. That is, they'll say,
you never see whites play black characters. You never see whites play black historical figures.
We know that this would never go the other way. It never could go the other way. You certainly would not find Netflix putting out a documentary about a black, an actual black historical figure being portrayed by a white person. That would never happen. But if there is any hope of compromise, if this is one issue we can compromise on, I'd take that compromise.
Matt Walsh is a Catholic, so he should know that the Catholic Church does not recognize the race social construct. Throughout the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we are spoken of as a human race, the human race from one source, with a human nature, who are living human conditions. That's it. So again, people who want to use race as a social construct inevitably end up promoting racism. It goes back to the Morgan Freeman line.
How are we going to get rid of racism and
stop talking about it? I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man.
As to Matt's point, he's probably right. But he doesn't explain why he's right. He's right because of the racist words he used. After over two centuries of conditioning people that this social construct of there being a white race and a black race at war with each other, now in the film and television industry, at least there, that war is over. And the reparations are being paid. Whites out, blacks in. You may not want to accept that that's what is going on, but it is. Blacks are now being given everything they have been convinced that white Hollywood owes them. Now, white Hollywood is still having a little fun with it by making nearly all the black characters gay, but it's reparations. Beggars can be choosy. So Matt is right. It's never going to go the other way. He's right. The best actor should get the job. And if it's Robert Downey Jr., if he's the best actor, he should be able to put on blackface and play the role of Martin Luther King Jr. if he wants to. He did it before in Tropic Thunder. Why not again? But no, racist people started this war. The white social construct lost in Hollywood thanks to liberal whites who bought into white guilt. And this is where we are. And those who believe in a white social construct, so just deal with the consequences of losing that war. It's over. But the interesting question Matt raises is, were blacks upset for 100 years during this war? Silent film started in the 1890s, but no black was even cast for a silent role until 1910. So from the 1890s to the 1990s, not much representation of blacks in TV or film, unless the movie or film was uniquely about black families. Even when Carlton Heston played Moses in The Ten Commandments in 1956, blacks were not upset for the same reason they weren't upset being told that Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes, either because conditioning or because it didn't matter to them. They accepted Heston because we were told that he looked like Michelangelo's statue of Moses. As if that's real. And also because Heston was a liberal Democrat who worked with civil rights, who marched with MLK Jr. Neither were blacks upset when images of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben were removed from the food boxes, even though white images on food remained.
New this morning, Uncle Ben's rice products are getting a new name, Ben's Original. The logo depicting a Chicago head waiter is also being dropped. The new branding will have the same blue font and orange packaging and will hit shelves in 2021. The changes come amid a broader movement about racial equality. In June, the companies that make Uncle Ben's, Aunt Jemima, Cream of Wheat, and Mrs. Butterworth said they would retire or rebrand their products.
White privilege, white guilt, white supremacy, a stolen legacy of those who think they are better than me, a legacy of imperialism thinking for me, from physical to mental slavery by those who know better for me. You know better for me than I know for myself. You're not me, but you say you know it offends me. So you remove images of me from all your groceries. Now all you have is white faces on your food and in your pantry. Now for stolen legacy, you can just forget about me. You were so quick to want to remove Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima, who are images of me. But what if I told you that I'm going to remove Colonel Sanders from KFC? Or Larry on Quaker Oats or Anna Gerber Baby? Can I remove Richard the Big Boy, Wendy Thomas of Wendy's? Can I remove Ronald McDonald the Chef Bardee? What about Lorraine or Sun Mae Raisins or Little Debbie? Will you let me remove them? Can I steal your legacy? Why? Because they were told by their white liberal handlers that we're doing this for you. We're erasing you from food so that you won't be offended. Black liberals are really easy in this way. So Matt Walsh and others missed a clear point here. It was white liberals who sold out the white social construct. Blacks were never to blame. I mean, blacks might riot after a white cop kills someone. Not a black cop, but a white cop kills a black person. But who put that neatly stacked pile of bricks in the middle of the street for the rioters to throw? Who told them that they can burn down any building they wanted, except Planned Parenthood? It was the white Democratic Party slave owners who created this war. And it's the white Democrats who sold y'all out. So Matt Walsh does make another interesting point that I should respond while I'm into this thing. He talks about how white folks were not upset when Morgan Freeman played the character of Red in Shawshank Redemption.
And there was a time when that was the case. It wasn't an issue. Nobody really cared about it. Morgan Freeman's character in Shawshank Redemption is actually supposed to be an Irish guy with red hair. That's why the character is named Red. But nobody complained because Freeman was brilliant in the role. He single-handedly made that film the classic that it is. And also, back in the early 90s, people weren't obsessing as much about the racial dynamics in Hollywood films. There was nothing pointed or political about giving the role to Freeman.
Walsh is right. Things have changed. Whites went from not being upset about a minor character being changed during the early years of the social construct war, but now they're all upset about a minor character of elves being black. Come on. Fair point, Walsh. But he misses the point that Red was a harmful depiction of black people. Red was just one more archetype magical Negro in a movie, which itself is a form of racism stereotyping. If you never heard of the term magical Negro, the term was coined by the filmmaker Spike Lee in 2001, but it refers to the supporting stock character who comes to the aid of the white protagonist in a story. The magical Negro often possesses some special insight or mystical powers that help the white character overcome their problems or achieve their goals. Examples of the magical Negro would be Will Smith, the Caddy in The Legend of Bagger Vance, Michael Clark Duncan in A Green Mile, another helpful inmate like Red, Morpheus in the movie in the Matrix series, Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. There is no comp to any movie where there's a black protagonist where he has a magical Caucasian. It happens very rarely, I would say that. Peter Gamby in Black Lightning is one of the rare examples, I would say. But on a broader issue of what Matt Walsh calls race swapping, the reason why you don't find such a swap with fictional superhero characters is that most of the best known black superhero characters are called black. A little bit of racism there. Black Panther, Black Lightning, Black Eagle, Black Spider, Black Racer, Black Musketeers, Black Wing, Brown Hornet. Or they have these like very ethnic names, right? Something like Tyrone or someone with the last name Jackson, which Jackson has an amazing number of black superheroes had a last name Jackson. But probably the best reason is because there have not been really many iconic black superheroes promoted. Hollywood never worked with Marvel or DC Comics to develop black characters in standalone films. So when you have a Hollywood today that only wants to recycle Superman and Batman and not create a Black Musketeer or a Bronze Tiger or a Black Racer movie, what you're going to end up with is them taking a tried and true classics and putting a black face on them. That's why that happens. You know, I went to watch the latest Little Mermaid with my daughter because I liked the preview, you know, of the movie with that bird rapping. I thought that was cool. And I thought the movie was wonderful, a wonderful musical. I'd go watch it again. Yes, I drove my car made by Woke Volvo, filled with some woke ExxonMobil gas to a theater on a woke Air Force base that has drag shows in the library. At the woke movie, I had some woke snacks, M&Ms and Kit Kats. And we had a great daddy and daughter date. I didn't stay awake. I took a little nap in the middle. But the intention of me going was to invest time in my daughter. And that's what I did. I had a great time. I'd do it a million times over. And I also encourage everyone to get over yourselves and reject this dumb social race construct that we have been brainwashed to believe. Life will be better for you and for everyone around you the sooner you do. Trust me. But until then, and until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours.